You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Did you know that Podcast Juice is premium content? Well, check out Podcast Juice All Access. Join today and get instant access to over 9 years of great classic podcasts, members-only shows, and more exclusive content. Go to PodcastJuice.net/All Access and join today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to This Is What We Do here on PodcastJuice.net. My name is Michael Dean, and today we're going to get into it. We're going to talk about the Charleston shooting. We may jump back on the back of Rachel Dolezal, possibly.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. Notice how she just, all of a sudden, she's out of the news, thankfully. But anyway, Mr. Big Sexy in the Sack, how are you?
Oh, man, I'm okay. I just caught this LinkedIn ad sent. Really? Oh, man. We'll get to this.
All right. Ampu, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Just when I think that the black species can sink no lower, they never let me down.
Damn.
All right. And last but certainly not least, Mr. Sean Hill, how are you, sir?
Wow, I'm going to try to be the voice of positivity on this show. I got my anniversary coming up in a couple of days. Father's Day is tomorrow. I'm doing good. I'll try not to let this news, this topic bring me down. So let's get into it.
Yeah, and before we go in, let's say this now, because I'm sure you'll hear this. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Definitely, this is your day. We salute the fathers around the world. So big up to you.
Sperm donors, get your own damn day.
All right.
Oh, shit.
I thought we was gonna keep it positive, sir.
Well, that's a sore one with me.
Wow. To the sperm donors.
Tell me, how do you feel when you say that, Sean?
Oh, contempt. And the person that I'm speaking of, will, of course, probably never heard this show. So, well, let's move on.
All right. So let's get into sort of the biggest story going on right now. Unfortunately, there was the shooting in Charleston. This man, Dalen Roof, walked into a predominantly black church in Charleston, South Carolina. I think it was Wednesday night. They were having a Bible study, and this guy goes in there. He's a white guy. I think he's in there for like an hour praying with the people and stuff. And then he he pulls out a gun, weapons, and kills, nine people. And walks out of the place. You know, manhunt. They caught him. He's been arrested. We know who this guy is. There's a lot. Obviously, this is a huge story. And, you know, you're hearing about, is it race-related? Is this terrorism? You know, there's even people are even commenting on the treatment of Dalen Roof as he's been arrested, incarcerated. He had his first court appearance yesterday. He wasn't physically in the courtroom, but he was in there via TV, closed circuit camera. And the judge went sort of on a tirade about the victims, not actually the victims that were gunned down, but the victims on the other side, like the shooter's family.
The fuck out.
Some people have problems with that. We'll get into that. Now I've just seen this morning they found his website that he had, and I guess some guys actually went back in and backtracked and got into the directory to find all his files. They have found a manifesto that he wrote, and there's no question that this was about race. In his manifesto, it's very long, I'm not going to read it all, but he says that one thing that jumped out at me, he says the thing that sparked him, he said the event, I'm reading his words, the event that truly awakened me was the Trayvon Martin case. I kept hearing and seeing his name, and eventually I decided to look him up. I read the Wikipedia article, and right away I was unable to understand what the big deal was. It was obvious that Zimmerman was in the right. And he goes in about blacks, and he's using some historical stuff and what he thinks about black people. I believe he goes into Jews, Asians, Hispanics, patriotism. And he wrote this knowing that he was going to go do what he was going to do. So I've just put that out there, and we'll put a link to it. You can find it. I'm sure you can find it online. There's no question his motivations behind this situation was purely racial. There's some pictures that have surfaced from the same website where he's got guns, the Confederate flag. He's burning the American flag. Apparently, one of these pictures with the gun and the flag is at used to be a plantation, a slave plantation. I'm seeing something here. He was telling people about attacking stuff. Apparently, it just says his black neighbor. And I don't know if this is the same person you guys are talking about in this video we talked about before we started the show. But I'm reading here, and this is Huffington Post, says people who knew Roof said they noticed troubling behavior shortly before the shooting. A black neighbor said Roof recently told him that he wanted to attack a college campus. Another friend told the New York Daily News that he took away Roof's gun after he unleashed a bigoted rant 2 weeks before the shooting. It's interesting, and they talked to this black neighbor again in this article where he says he was just drinking with the guy. He just didn't take it. I don't know if he didn't take it serious, but he knew the guy had some sort of problems going on. I don't see how you can kind of let that type of shit slide when people say shit like that, but I don't know. That's where we're at. I'm not going to even comment on this yet. I'm going to go to Big Sexy and Sack. What is your thoughts on this whole tragedy?
Well, it's unusual because anytime a person does something extremely heinous like this, the first thing that's going to happen is his defense team. I don't know who he's got as his defense team. Is they're going to try to position him as being mentally unfit and unable to assist in his own defense, and try to say that these actions were the direct result of a mental disease or defect. Now, I, of course, will not buy that because this is horse shit. But this guy had been planning this for 6 months, what I understand. And what bugs me most is, and I'm not one to take sides on the whole Fox News, you know, bandwagon, and people think what they think. I don't watch Fox News, so I don't know what the hell their agenda is. But someone posted that, someone on Fox News said, this is a war on Christianity. I'm like, where the hell did you get that from? You know, some knucklehead walks in and kills 9 people for no reason other than their skin color. This is not an attack on any Christianity. It just isn't. Now there's footage showing, apparently this guy had a black friend or a roommate who, quote, still loves him. What the fuck? What about, you know, there are 9 victims here and their families. When people start talking about victims of Dylan Roof, you know what, let me go on record with this. I don't give a damn about them. Had they done a better job of parenting and raising this fucking guy, these people would still be alive. So they're not victims. Fuck you. Now, this guy needs... I don't know if South Carolina's got the death penalty, and I'm hearing that there's a federal move being made on this. But if there's anybody anywhere who needs a death penalty, this guy has to go. It shouldn't take 2 years. It shouldn't take whatever it takes in South Carolina. This guy has to go. Now, for all of our more open-minded liberal friends who are against death penalty, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Sometimes people just need to be put down like the rabid fucking dogs they are. This is that case. All I've right. got nothing else.
Aunt Poo, let me ask you this question before you go into some other things. Do you consider this an act of terrorism?
Yes, I do. During the civil rights movement, and even before that, during the Gilded Age, post Reconstruction, they considered the KKK terrorists. So, if this person is going into a historically black church that has the roots and the history that church does, to specifically kill black people, as one eyewitness stated, which for some reason, and Fox, I don't know why, doesn't want to believe that account, then yes, this is terrorism.
Yeah, we talked about Fox News and the presentation. I think even CNN, people were talking about CNN. There's a footage of Don Lemon, and there's an angry woman, black woman, you know, walks into the camera while they're doing a live feed and calls him Uncle Tom.
Why does he get so much heat? I don't understand this on Don Lemon.
Well, from my limited understanding, you know, I've only seen stuff out of context because I don't watch CNN. But it seems from what I've seen, like he sort of has some slick talk when he talks about sort of racial things. The only thing I can really remember is when he was sort of talking with Talib Kweli. They had an exchange on the air. And this was in Ferguson, I believe. And yeah. You know, there was some, you know, Talib was kind of saying, hey, man, you kind of like either you're mixing up my words, you're not letting me speak, and you're trying to push whatever you're talking about and not let me get a fair exchange here. There's been people on the ground. I think they just see him as a puppet. I'm not saying he is. It could be. But I think people in the streets, because I think he was confronted in the streets of Ferguson as well back then when it was going down, when people were like, they see him as an Uncle Tom. I guess they don't see him on the side of quote unquote the black people. You know what I mean? Like, I can't really speak too much on him because I don't watch this show. Right. But I did see the exchange where the lady came at him. And then there's another video of him talking to this lady after this, you know, and I have to say, she sound crazy. He was like way super emotional. And just going, I mean, she was calling Obama a sellout and Uncle Tom. And not that I said agreeing or disagreeing, but it was just. Oh, well, I'm not. Just saying, she was just going, like, you're not, there's no rational thought to what she was saying. And it kind of makes her sound crazy. Whether you would disagree or not with Don Lemon, you still got to have a conversation. And I'm like, you can't really have conversations with people like that. Like, they're not. It's just too emotional, right? And she's just spouting off shit, you know. So anyway, I'm kind of going around this. There's been a lot of hubbub about how the media is presenting this story. You know, it seemed like being reluctance to say that this was a racial story. It almost seemed to be a reluctance to them to cover this story.
Well, the reluctance is obvious from the anticipated backlash. And nobody wants to be the one to spark that, to make it happen, because there's always the possibility of rioting and other things of that nature. But, you know, hitting back on Lemon, I don't think, and maybe because I am a bit naive, but I don't think it's anybody, and I mean anybody, in the media, it's not their job to take a side. It's their job to report what's happening accurately. Most of them don't do it, but it's not a person, it's not on a person in a journalistic capacity to take a side one way or the other, because you can't be objective if you do that.
Right, and I think part of the problem is it seems that some of these organizations are taking a side, or they are slanting stories to whatever gender they're trying to portray.
And that's wrong.
And I think, and to me, the answer to that is, yeah, we should call them out. But I almost, to me, I'm like this, like, Why even watch this show? Why watch Fox? If Bill O'Reilly and, you know, Sean Hannity and all these guys, they're on some other stuff. Don't watch those dudes. Now, there are a lot of people that do watch them. But at the same point, to me, we live in a world now where I think almost things like Twitter reporting the news faster than these organizations could. Like, why watch the nightly news? If you are online, you've already seen those stories before they can even portray them on the news, right? Because they're happening in real time.
Trayvon
is a perfect example. We see the video footage. People are tweeting it. And we're seeing what's going on. Most of these nightly news shows are slow. Like, they can only, you know, they're just taking what happened that day. And you got guys like Bill O'Reilly and these different things. They have their agenda. It's obvious. You can see how they're talking about it. So why give them even the attention anymore? Like, we should just not even pay them any mind anymore, because, again, they're not going to deliver, you know, the truth that you may want to hear, or the frame the narrative in the way that you want them to. So don't even watch them then. I mean, I don't know if I'm trying to ignore there are people that do watch it, but that's just my opinion. I'm like, already know what to expect with those cats. So I wouldn't be surprised if they say some crazy shit. That's what they do. That's why I don't watch it. You know, I can't be mad. Oh, they don't want to call it a race story. Well, and again, I'm maybe speaking because I'm a little older. You know, if you don't realize that that's how they do this shit, it should be no surprise to you that they're not going to talk about it in that angle, that they would say that he's just crazy.
You know, sorry to interrupt you. That you can be racist and crazy, right? Mm-hmm, I mean, they're not, the two aren't mutually exclusive to one another. So, you know, it's the whole debate. Is he crazy? Is he racist? Yes, yes. I mean, you know, and for me, and I know we clowned, what was it, 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, about church, and, you know, we did the show with Q, and we were talking about that stuff. And this what I heard about this kind of hit home for me, as much as I talk negatively about my church-going experiences, but the church should be, well, is and should be the one sanctuary, pardon the pun, where people of any color or any race should feel safe. You know,
yeah.
You know, these folks were, well, was it Tuesday night, Wednesday night? They were there, you know, during the week, which says to me that they're just not giving religion lip service. They're about that life, to use a phrase the kids use. And I mean, they welcome the guy in. Does not bat an eye that he's white. It doesn't matter. They let him in. I understand, you know, they were praying with him. And then just for him to just, you know, unload, especially after spending that much time with them. And, I mean, apparently, I guess, maybe no, you know, personal feelings or interaction, you know, got in the way. And that's a crazy person, you know, to spend – you know, to spend that much time with someone and still kill them without provocation, without reason, that motherfucker's nuts. And that motherfucker is racist as well.
He's evil.
Evil
cats out there. They're doing it on purpose.
Yes.
He knows exactly what he's doing. He has no compassion. But again, if you read his manifesto, he sees you lower than him.
Yeah.
And he equated black people to dogs. So he says you would kill a, you know, you can kill a dog. If I see him a dog, then I'm going to shoot him down. So
yeah.
He doesn't see you on the same level. So I don't think he's crazy. He's just that he does not see you as a human. So he doesn't value you, right?
Right. Yeah. I get it. I mean, you know, much like the Trayvon case kind of touched me too, because, you know, that could be me. I live in a, you know, quote unquote white neighborhood. And, you know, if I'm walking down the street, maybe someone doesn't, you know, hey, maybe this guy shouldn't be here. Same thing. I mean, my parents, you know, they still do, you know, Tuesday night Bible study, you know, Wednesday night Bible study, Sunday school, you know, they're ushers of the church, all that. So, I mean, that could be my family. You know,
yeah,
shot like
any
that.
Of us.
Yeah. You know, so that's just what just really just got to me, was that, again, that is the one place, where people should feel safe from evil, right? It's the church, right? I mean, mm-hmm. So that's like the very definition of why you're going there, to ward off evil, and then they, unbeknownst to them, being Christians, let evil in. You know, and in retrospect, would probably do the same thing again if, you know, if they were alive to do so, because that's the Christian way. So.
Yeah, and it's terrible, because no matter what race you are, a holy place,
exactly, yeah,
is supposed to be off limits,
right?
But I say, but now we know in today's world, and again, there's been many other church situations, right? But this is just on the spotlight. Anything can go anywhere. And so that's why I say to churches, black churches, and there's been a number of bomb threats within this week of different black churches. There was another black church that was shot at, I think yesterday. It's time to get your Bibles. And it's also time for at least some of the deacons or the men in the church to have some steel. Because we can't be putting our families in jeopardy. I'm all for praying. Right, I pray, Bible study, but I'm not letting them get me. I ain't letting them get my people. So I'm saying, if you have, you need to protect yourself, because there's obviously some people out here that aren't playing by
God's rules.
They're not playing by God's rules. Not playing by society's rules. They're evil, and they don't care about respect and humanity. And you can't let those people who don't care about humanity destroy you. So I'm saying, you know what? I think it's now time for the black church, or any church for that matter, where we're going to start putting, listen, we are protected here. God, you know, is with us. But at the same point, we have a responsibility to protect our families while we're here. And we're not going to just let anybody just come nilly-nally up in here without some sort of checks and balances. Somebody got to be at the door. Where are you? Yeah, you've never been. You're not a member? Oh, you never been here before? Okay, yeah, you can pray with us. But Deacon, he got some questions for you, because we're not having that. We're not following. No. We ain't having that, man.
You're suggesting, and I'm just throwing this out as kind of a light moment here, but like airplane security, you know, for church, essentially.
A Wednesday night, off night, it's not Sunday service. And you got somebody just coming in on a prayer study. No, nobody know who he is. Yeah, you're supposed to check that clown.
Yeah,
you know, like, nah. Partner, who are you? Who's your family? Where are you from? At least, you know what I mean. Like, we love everybody, but we're not going to be the ones that just have all open arms and getting slaughtered.
Yeah, we love everybody. We just can't trust everybody. Yeah,
you can't. Not these days, man.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. 100%. And you know, again, the fact that they let him in without apparently, I guess I haven't heard otherwise, you know, apparently without question, shows, you know, a lot again for what, you know, they were doing as far as their Christian faith.
Yeah, and I don't fault them, and it's not their fault at all. There's no blame. That's the kind of people that we are.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And that speaks a lot. But I'm just saying, I think going forward now, we might want to put up some checks and balances, because our families are being jeopardy, and that's just something we can't stand for. And there's people out there that don't care, man. It's sad. And that's for anybody. You know, I guarantee you, I bet you, if it was a different type of church, and your black ass walked up in there, I don't know who you are on a Wednesday night, I bet you who are you? No offense, guy. Where are you from?
Does it surprise anyone, and I thought Big Sexy was going to touch on this, but does it surprise anyone that he did not take his own life? I mean, But is that usually what the mass majority of the mass killers?
Nah, not
do?
The last two. Sandy Hook and guy in Colorado, he didn't do it.
You're right.
It was just them damn Columbine bitches.
Also that one guy, as a year ago, we talked about it on the show. He was his dad was some sort of Hollywood director.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He shot up six people.
He shot up all the chicks that wouldn't give him none.
He was mad. You know, it was
the hating on the black dudes. Yep.
He was Chinese or something like that, right?
Kind of mixed something. And same game. Guy from Privilege. You know, he had it, but I think they both have the same sort of thing. One is they hate. They were those. I hate to use this word. But those they were them fuck boys. They was them dudes that was busters.
They was those little fucking boys.
Yeah, that's what they didn't know how to sort of interact with people. They would buy themselves a lot. And it's just, woe is me. And it's the only way they can scream for attention is, I'm just going to take everybody out because I don't have something. Or what do you say? Y'all raping our women. Y'all taking over.
You know what? Let me go on record with that shit.
Sissies, man.
I'm tired of people of all persuasions with that shit. You know, y'all are taking our women. Y'all are taking our men. What's this possessory bullshit? Now, the guy who we're just talking about, now I'm going to really oversimplify this, and Anthony will get a kick out of this. This guy needs a folding chair beside the head. It's just that simple. You know, the minute people start spouting that bullshit, somebody should just walk up on it with a folding chair and just waffle his ass. You know, and be done with it. I'm tired of people saying, well, you took our women. Our? I'm sorry, do you have ownership papers on these people? No? Get the fuck out. Tired of that shit.
And you guys know I'm in an interracial relationship. I took no one.
You took it. We got to have one. We got to have one win.
So, I agree with Big Sex. That's a stupid All right, and I used to hear that all the time when I was in Georgia, you know, as far as that goes.
Man, I'm going to say this. I think that is an underlying sort of mentality on all of these types of mass shooting type dudes.
Are you saying we need to stop interracial relationships?
No. I'm saying that we need to start teaching kids how to take an L every once in a while. And it's not a bad thing if you lost something. That's what I'm saying. I think all of these guys, Sandy Hooks, all of them, if you look at all of them, I bet you a lot of them, they're mad at something because they don't have something. Or, oh, they get to do all this and I don't. You know, it's just these dudes that probably was never taught that it's okay to lose, man.
Well, they don't teach that anymore. Remember, everybody gets a trophy day.
Everybody gets, right. Oh, I hate that shit. Oh, don't get me started.
And this, you factor that in with the sense of entitlement. You factor it in on a racial level as well. Like, you mean the blacks are doing better than me? You know, you put that into it as well. And then you got these guys, they'd be isolated. And so they just start getting indoctrinated with this shit that they probably find it online and they don't understand how to handle. And they're already thinking like a dummy. So it just piles it on. So that's why you see they doing these types of shootings. Because, again, I think you say it best, Big Sexy, it's a pussification of a lot of things that's going on in America, man. We're teaching these kids, we're not teaching them that it's okay to lose as long as you did the best you can. You might win the next time. You're going to have more losses than wins, but it's how you act when you lose that's going to determine what kind of person you are, man. We all ain't going to always win. But that don't mean we got to quit the fucking game. Oh, fuck it, I lost, I'm quitting. I see this all the time when I'm playing video games, man.
Yep.
It's like, okay, you know, we're playing
rage quitting.
Yeah, it's like, fuck are you losing for? Quitting, we got another turn, man. Oh, fuck that, I don't want to play. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Who does that? Where is this coming from, man? You can't win every goddamn game. Does Michael Jordan, did he just quit the fucking league if he lost the game? So, yeah, fuck it, all right, practice and get better.
It's really that simple. I'm tired of this nonsense about all the little knuckleheads win. You know, we don't keep score. Yeah, we do keep score. Okay? And like Mike just said, it's okay to take an L. You know, because I tell my team, my softball team when I was running, I'm like, look, okay, we lost. That's fine. We go out there, shake hands, dap them up, and let them know. Next time, it'll be something different. Learn from it. But people don't want to do that shit.
I put this in wrestling perspective. Ric Flair, supposedly the greatest world champion of all time, most world title wins.
Supposedly.
16-time world champion. That means he lost the title 16 times.
That's a good point.
Yeah, man. And so, you know, I think when you pile all of that stuff on and you got people that, you know, and plus we're in a world now and it started with, maybe with Columbine, where it's like now you go out in a blaze of glory or you do this big, you know, look at me shooting so I can get all this attention. And I mean, this guy had a manifesto and all. He was ready. He's ready for his time in the spotlight, right? And that's where we're at right now, man. That's terrible. Now you're gonna have I gotta throw Obama in here a little bit. You know, he came out.
Feel free. We cue Storm Cupcake in free.
Oh Lord.
Obama came out quickly and spoke on this situation, which he should. He's the president of the United States. But you know, and he made it an opportunity to talk about gun control and different things of that nature. I'm like this, and I'm this is how I'm right now. I'm going to go get me a gun. Now, I'm not scared of guns. I don't think guns just fire off for no reason. A person has to make the conscious decision, put that gun in their hand, and pull the trigger. Now, as long as the laws dictate in the state of Washington that I don't have to have a license to go buy one and I can keep it in my house.
Wait, what?
That's what I'm going to do. Because I don't have time to be debating whether it's right or wrong while I got to protect the family. So while I'm protecting my family, then they can change the laws and all that. But as of right now, we will have to steal here just in case. You never know what happens, right? So that's my viewpoint going forward. And again, you don't have to follow what I got to say. You can disagree. I love it. But I say us as, and I'm going tribal, us as black people, we need to start getting educated. And yeah, some of this stuff may be stacked against us or police may come at you funny, but listen, the law say you can go buy something and get a license, I would say the men, I'm speaking to the men, I would say men, if you got a family, you got kids at the house, if you feel comfortable, you need to get you some protection, because there's people out here that are not, they don't care about humanity, they don't care about respect, and they don't see you as a person. So as we continue to get gunned down in the streets and complain about police brutality, blah, 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 listen, get you some protection. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying going out there shooting nobody or nothing like that, but just get you a little peace of mind, so at least you know if they come to your door, you got something to greet them with. Because that's what I'm about to do. Because I got kids, man. I got kids here. I got a woman here pregnant. I'm not playing, man. Ain't no, you'll never know what these people are doing these days. So that's what I say. I'm not going to be out here gangster. I'm no gangster. I'm a grown man, about 46 years old, been out here a little bit, got a little bit of knowledge. When they come knocking on that door, front door of this apartment, you better bring an army partner, because it's not going down in this area. And I'm just saying, we need to start thinking about these different things. The churches, we need to start securing our churches, man.
To quote a very bad movie, better bring an army, show enough.
Yeah, there you go. But that's just my stance. I ain't saying that's the way to go. I'm just saying that's the where I logically have seen where I need to understand what's going on, because I'm not waiting for Obama. I'm not waiting for Fox News to change their mentality. I don't care. Like, they can do what they do. I can only control this situation.
Right. You know, I had a discussion with our friend Diana Fitzgerald about.
Shout out to Diana.
Yeah, and she wants to come on at some point to talk about all this stuff with us, and so I said I would, you know, extend the invitation and.
Whoa! You're talking about booby on my back, man.
Hilarious! Uh oh, here we go.
I'm not
you're
going
taking
there.
All those women. You're taking all the women again.
Are you sliding in her DMs like?
No, just chatting, and you know, she had asked, you know, what can she do? You know what I mean? And my advice, as I'm not a, you know, good advice giver, I said, you know, at the end of the day, you gotta do you. You have to get up in the morning. You gotta go to work. You gotta, you know, feed your family and take care of yourself. You still, you know, I mean, be aware of what's going on around you. And stay vocal. You know, if you see something on Facebook, you know, call them out, or, you know, start discussions on your page. You know, and she does that. I've seen her do that, and, you know, I'll try to chime in from time to time. But, you know, I know she's only one voice. We're all, you know, one voice. But it takes you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with you. And I'm going to throw this story out there, because this happened to me yesterday. I didn't tell anybody about this. I'm at work. You know, downtown Seattle, broad daylight. I'm on the phone with somebody, and there's a car parked across the street from where my office is. And I see a guy walk up to the truck, and he has like a hanger in his hand, like maybe he locked his keys in the car. And that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, what is this dude doing? And I'm like, oh, he must have locked himself out. But then he smashes the passenger window, right?
Oh.
And I'm like, whoa. And, you know, it's processing in my mind. This is happening real fast. And I'm talking to my clients. I'm like, yo, I need to call you right back. It's going down right here. And I walk out the front door, and my man, he's pulling out a laptop bag out the car, right? And I'm like, yo, what are you doing? And he turns and looks at me, and he's, huh? And, you know, he's putting it around. I'm like, you just going to, oh, so we're just robbing cars in the open? Is that what we're doing? Oh, with me. And I said, really? No, it wasn't me. And I tried to fuck him. I said, dude, I got you on camera. What are you talking about? And he's, oh, no, I didn't do it. And he had I didn't notice it, but there was a bike on the other side of the car on the ground. He gets on the bike and starts pedaling away. And I'm like, wow. Now, my first instinct, cause I watched too many of these Marvel movies.
Get your phone.
Was the run over there, Captain America. But I was like, you know what? This fool could have a gun.
Gun, yep.
You know, he could have anything. I'm not going to throw him. Before I act a fool, my realization cap programming jumps in. Boy, you got family. So he's like, whoa. I said, okay. Let him ride off. But, you know, I'm snitching. So I pulled my phone out, called 911 right there. You know, like, yo, this dude, da-da-da, this white cat. you know, with a hoodie. And yeah, white boy with a hoodie on the bike. Da 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 da. Yeah.
Where was Zimmerman when we really need him, right?
Right. And I'm like, is this a bitch? But I'm thinking, like, you know what? That could have been my car.
Yep.
You know, and it wasn't even, again, I don't know who the person who owned the car. Now, the owner of the truck eventually comes walking over, and I talk to him, say, hey, man, I saw the whole thing, and, you know, talk to the cops, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, dude, I'm sorry I didn't jump on him, but, you know, you don't ever know these days, man. He could have been packing or something. I just can't really take that risk. But I was offended. You know what I'm saying? I was like, this is that bullshit. But you're right. We all have to stand up and say something and stop this madness. And that's why I said, yeah, I'm snitching. And he know if that dude got a problem, hey, like I said, bring an army. But now we can't allow this type of foolishness. Even that was a petty crime, but it was just disrespectful to me because I was on my block. And I don't, right. And it's not good, man. So, yeah, I don't care. I don't care if he was black or white or whatever. Nah, man, we can't be. This isn't how we get down, you know. So, yeah, just like you were saying, Dana, who anybody else? Yeah, we all got to step up and do our part, man. And that's why I say I think for us black people at this point, with all the stuff that's been going on, we just need to rally up. And it ain't about being a victim. It ain't about, personally, I ain't marching for no equality. I don't march for nothing, but just have, this is how we're going to conduct ourselves going forward, and we're not going to never allow any more foolishness on any from us or from anybody else. And when it does happen, we should rally and unite as a unit and say, nah, that's unacceptable. We're not fucking with that no more. So that, you know, I'm not going to be complaining about how the media isn't portraying it. We're not watching them no more then. However you got to go about sort of letting them know that you count, then you should just stop buying all that bullshit that they advertise. I guarantee you, when you hit them advertisers, they will change. They get those ratchet TV shows taken off the air when they want to, right? Because they go after the advertisers. Just do the same thing. If you really feel Fox is that much of a deal to you, I guarantee you hit them advertisers, they'll stop. But that's what they do, man. I'm just kind of going around in circles here.
Well, you mentioned, I was going to segue, but you were still making a good point. You mentioned the foolishness that we shouldn't put up with, but then Miss Rachel.
Oh, well, yeah, let's hold off on that for a minute.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know you're ready to segue.
Yeah, but this situation here with this man, yeah, man, we have to really be mindful of our surroundings.
Yes.
And we got to, as a nation, we got to start teaching kids and young folks, man, that, you know what? It's okay. Stop being by yourself so much. And when you have these cats around you that you know are like this, you should be speaking out, man. Don't take none of these cats for granted that they won't go through with some of this crazy shit.
Especially white cats.
Yeah, I hate to say it. I hate to say it, but yeah, man. Because they're the ones that, again, if you factor in, if they feel entitled, if they have some sort of racist sort of thoughts in their mind, and if they are loners and they're getting picked on, and in today's sort of look at me world for screaming for attention, hoeing for attention, they'll be the first ones to walk into something and start busting shots. It's not the stereotypical gangster dude that you think. It's some of these dudes that would just no one would pay attention to. You got to be on lookout for all of them. And I still say you got to, and I'm not doing the whole look at black and black on black crime thing, but we got to be focused. Even just here in Washington, Seattle, just the other, it was yesterday, 19-year-old girl blasted on, cat shot at her, killed the baby inside of her. The girl's on life support right now. This was just the other day in Seattle. So, man, there's a lot of work to do, man. A lot of work to do.
But it's not helping when you got, I'm going to go ahead and say, you got these white supremacist apologists like Larry Elder out there saying it's anything but what it is. He One of the debates that's been going on since this occurred is the fact that South Carolina still flies the Confederate flag on the state house, the state capitol building. And he's over there like, we're debating the Confederate flag and not whether a good guy with a concealed weapon might have evened out the odds. And I'm like, really? That's your answer? It was like, pretty much you're saying, like, if those unenlightened church-going AME members had allowed guns to be in the church, this could have been different. Like, how do you even let that statement even be argued? And then another tweet, he said, while South Carolina allows concealed carry on shall issue basis, guns are not allowed in a house of worship. Did Dylann Roof know? And it's like, so
what?
Yeah, exactly. It's like what he's saying is like, well, these churchgoers, they should have been with the times and have protected themselves and had guns in the church. That's not the fucking issue. The issue is we having this racist motherfucker that wants to go into a church with black people and say, I'm killing black people. That is the salient point. What is fostering that environment, that mindset? And for me, yeah, it's just a flag. But what does the Confederate flag represent? If you don't even want to take race into account, it represents a bunch of treasonous turncoats that tried to secede from the Union, which, sorry to tell you people, especially Texas, you can't do it. You in this bitch for life.
Well, you know, what is so funny, you always, and I've been seeing this on Twitter and Facebook, the history of the Confederate flag. It was not always a symbol of racism, da, da, da. I'm like, it doesn't matter. You know, I used to wear diapers and suck at a pacifier. I don't anymore. You know, it is what it is represents today, not what it used to be. And I mean,
you said it was a symbol of what?
Well, it was not. That was its history. It wasn't a symbol of hate. It is now. And my argument to that is, you know, again, you used to do something else. Yeah, but you don't do it anymore. It's what you're up to right now that matters the most. It doesn't matter the history of it and that it wasn't always a symbol of hate. It was a symbol of whatever. What it symbolizes in 2015, not in, 1815. You know what I mean?
It's funny you would say that because, and you know, you were raised in the South, which is cool.
Yes.
But the visual
shot
of you,
fired?
No. But the visual of you in the pacifier is just too funny.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking now of back to like 1980 when Dukes of Hazzard was big and they had the flag on their car.
Flag car, yep.
Yes.
So I don't know.
That was ridiculous. I mean, to me, it's like, what does the Confederate States of America represent? It represents a point in the time where they felt their states' rights were being infringed upon because there was a large movement to free the slaves. And rather than give in to the tyranny, quote unquote, of the North that was telling them that besides the slave issue, they were exercising their political might, trying with regards to the railroad system and some other things that was going on. So they decided, no, fuck this, we out. Y'all want to take away our slaves, and we're not getting favorable politics, so fuck that, we're out. And it's like, that's treason. That's secession. Why are we giving props to that? Why are we paying homage to that if we're supposed to be loving America? The Confederate States of America was the antithesis of the United States of America. And it shouldn't be celebrated in the South or any other place. And now, then, let's put on the fact that they seceded so they can maintain their slave labor. And you still want to pay homage and celebrate the heritage of that? Get the fuck out of it. Like some people were saying that in South Carolina now, many of the streets are named after Confederate generals. And you want to talk about how none of this has anything to do with some racist asshole going into a church, shooting and killing specifically black people, which he stated.
I'm with it. You know, this guy's nuts, man.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, too. Growing up in the South, I knew anywhere, or if I saw anybody, if I saw a car, a truck, or a house, or whatever, and they had a Confederate flag, sticker or whatever, I don't mess with that person. It was just that may be stereotypical. It may be racist. I don't know, but I wasn't taking no chances, kind of like to Mike's point. You know, why find out when I'm laying in intensive care in the hospital? Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess I shouldn't have, you know, said hello or did whatever. You know, it was just one of those things that, you know, it was just an unspoken rule, at least with me and, you know, a lot of my friends, that you just, you know, if someone was flying that flag, stay away.
Yeah, there was a Washington's a trip. There was another thing that just happened here, a story. I don't know if you guys seen this picture. It was a guy with the swastika on his arm, and he's sitting down. This is actually at the ferries here. White dude, a skinhead type dude. He was bald with it, had the swastika on, and he was at the ferry terminal chilling, and there's like a white couple sitting next to him, and it was a Filipino cat. He was a photographer. He was there going home, as he lived Bainbridge Island, is one of the islands here. And he said, man, I saw this dude sitting there with this out in the open, and I was like, what the hell, man? You know, it's like, so he took some pictures of him. You know, they put it in a local paper here. And I'm like, man, again, some of these cats, they're not afraid to let you know where they stand and what they're about. And, you know, some people in the community ain't going to bat an eye about that. And, you know, on one hand, he has freedom of speech to wear what he wants to wear. You know, if he ain't bothering you, you know what I'm saying? If you're going to walk up on them, that's on you. But at the same point, you got to be understanding, there's some people out here that's, he was about that skinhead life, apparently, and don't have no qualms to show it to you. Now, I guess the Filipino dude said he was a buff dude, so he was like, he was ready for him to say something in his face. But I'm like, you don't know what's out here, man. There's all kind of stuff out here, man. But I just think there's got to be more decent people than not. And going back to what some of Diana was asking, you know what? All you can do is be cognizant of what's really going on. And when you see something, call it out. You know, keep it 100, as they say. If you know somebody's getting discriminated against, or you know somebody being raped, for any race, you're supposed to stand up for right. That's it. Again, going back to my man here that's doing the shooting, he should be prosecuted. Death penalty, whatever the law says is supposed to happen, that's what needs to happen to him. There's crazy dudes out there like that. But all we can do to combat that is to just be on our P's and Q's as we normally are. And maybe we need to figure out different ways of how we conduct certain situations, so we can at least have, again, as I said, some sort of checks and balances at the door. So when we're confronted with these situations, we have a little buffer. Whatever that buffer is, you know, because, again, common sense may be saying, you know what, got to lock the door. Common sense may be saying, you know what, going forward, it ain't just open to the streets. We need to know who's coming in here. We got babies in here. If I'm in my house or I'm at a place and I got kids in there, I'm not letting just anybody walk in there. Oh, that's discriminatory. Oh, so what?
I don't give a fuck.
I got to protect my kids, man. I don't know you. We don't know what the hell you're talking about. So until you come in here where we got older people in here, we got our elders in here, somebody got to be up at the door. And who are you? Okay. Does anybody know? Then you got to come back on Sunday or whatever it is. Because we got to protect our elders and our children. That's it. So, and this sucks, man. I was going to do a show that night when it happened, because I was so amped. And I said, you know what? Nah, you're going to be sounding crazy. You know, calm it down. Some rational thoughts. But this is a tragedy, man. This is a heavy tragedy. And we just got to learn from it and protect the families of the victims, man.
Yeah, I love how you had all these conservatives, and there's pretty much all the conservatives saying this was an attack on Christianity. It proves a war on our religious freedoms. I'm like, yeah, because I can't remember. When was the last time a white Christian church was shot up by a white person? Please help me understand that. Please help me understand that.
Yeah, I don't get with all that, man. But I don't deal with the conservatives and all that either. So, I mean, they're going to say all kind of crazy shit.
I mean, it's just, I just can't understand why they can't say this nigga was crazy. Well, maybe not nigga. This cracker was crazy and wanted to shoot up some Negroes.
But they're not going to say that because that's not what they're about, right? That's not in their agenda. So we shouldn't expect those type of people to fight our battles, because they're not.
Right? Well, no, I ain't expecting them to fight our battles.
We should call a spade a spade. No validation. They're not going to call a spade a spade, because, again, it doesn't fit into their agenda. So if you know that from the gate, we can't be surprised when they don't do that. I mean, I expect them to say what they say, because they ain't going to change their story all of a sudden. They've been going on for years. We got to change our story. I don't need their validation to tell me whether it's a race crime or whatever. I already know that they acting funny. I expect them to do that. But what we going to do? So, we can't change Fox unless we affect their pocketbooks. That's all they care about. That's it. You know? That's why we got Podcast Juice. That's why we got other forms of media that we can control. And that's why we're supposed to be online, right? We're supposed to have our own networks and newspapers and websites and different things, so that we don't have to be reliant on another news organization's got their own agenda that is not ours. And we're looking for them to tell us what the situation is. Well, we already know what it is. So, hey, calling a spade, they racist, and they don't see us on the same level, they damn sure ain't going to report the situation to make them look bad and to go against their agenda. So, yeah, they're going to call it an attack on Christianity, because for them, they don't want to acknowledge racism. They didn't want to acknowledge racism before this happened, so they damn sure ain't going to acknowledge it now when their feet could be held to the fire.
Can we talk about that coon-ass Negro that says that he wasn't a racist?
You must.
So apparently, it's amazing, the best reporting that's done being in the country is being done by BBC, a British company. They came and they found the one lone Negro friend of this racist guy, and brought him, interviewed him, and he said, yeah, he was my friend. He ain't racist. He ain't anything. People hearing this, but that's not him. You know, matter of fact, he said that the people in the church were the wrong people. He was really wanted to go after the University of Charleston. And
what?
Yes, that's what he said in the video. That the guy said that he wanted to shoot them, and they got 5 days left to live. And this dumbass fucker decided, he don't mean that shit.
Now, see, what the thing that disturbs me more is not that he doesn't think he's racist. It's that he told you he was going to go kill a college, and you didn't say nothing. So I would hope this guy is going to have some guilt. Like, I could have possibly been the checks and balance and the buffer to stop this guy from going out and doing it. Again, if he'd had reported, say, you know what, I'm going to call the police or somebody, tell somebody, because this dude's talking about killing people. Let me something.
You would think that? But if you see the clip, this guy's an idiot.
No, I see what he looks like. But I'm just saying, in terms of him saying it ain't racist, doesn't bother me. When somebody's to tell you I'm going to gun down some people, you're supposed to say something. Like, you just let... that's why I said, I hope this dude is going to feel this guilt. Like, damn, some of them bodies is kind of on me. I didn't say shit.
The other point I wanted to bring out, and I know I'm probably going to catch heat for this, but I put it up on Facebook, and I know that I'm tired that whenever something is done to black people, Trayvon Martin, Eric Garner, Tamir Rice, Mike Brown, and now this, black people, it's like they hear the track gun go off and they sprint for a camera so they can stand up there in their Sunday best, probably their Easter outfit with a holy Bible in their hand and tell the world, I forgive him. As a good Christian, I forgive him. And I'm just like, you know what? You can't forgive him, but can you not broadcast that shit? Can you at least let the image go that no matter what they do to us, we'll forgive them? Can you at least let that image end?
Well, I never saw Trayvon's parents say they forgave Zimmerman.
I might be off on that one.
Okay.
I'm just tired that no matter any atrocity committed against Black Americans, there's somebody to run to the camera and say, we forgive that person.
Why do you think they do that?
Because I think one, they probably had somebody get up in the air like, we need to go out there and show that we're resolute in our Christian faith, which, fine. And we had to put out there that, you know, we're like Martin Luther King. We're going to turn the other cheek against our oppressors and show that we can still be fine, upstanding Negroes. I'm like, you know, at some point, we need let these motherfuckers be scared of us sometimes.
You know, I'll go ahead. I'm sorry.
It is okay for them to think that, fuck, 9 Negroes was killed in the church. Shit, they might be coming after our ass. That's fine. Let them think that for a little bit. But to always run to the fucking camera and say we forgive, it's like, stop that shit. Because like I put up on Facebook, Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda plotted and planned the 9/11 attacks. They killed 3,000 people of all races, but majority whites. And, you know, my friend, he found one video, but it was 10 years later, so that don't count. You did not see not one of those family members get up there and say, we forgive Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. Not one. Yeah. The first, I mean, as a matter of fact, all these Christians stood up on the steps of the Capitol singing, God Bless America, and it was ready to go to war and wipe out everybody off the face of the earth. No forgiveness. And I understand 9/11 is a far greater atrocity than what just happened here. But you try telling those families that the loss of their lives is any less diminished than the loss of the people at 9/11. But like I'm saying, they were ready to ride or die. They wasn't ready to let forgiveness into their heart and be an example.
Well, did all 9 families say this, or just like one or two? I'm just curious because to me it would seem like that. Again, we talked about this already. You know, the families, the victims died in church on a Tuesday night. So that tells me that, you know, they're just not giving religion lip service. So isn't that the whole forgiveness? Isn't that part of the Christian tenement? Is that one of the things that Christians hold near and dear, regardless of the color, regardless if it's black or white?
Yes, and I'm fine with you having forgiveness. What I'm upset with is finding a camera to make that statement.
Like, you know, people like to have their 15 minutes, man.
You know, like you don't have to broadcast that shit and let it be known that no matter what you do to black people, they will forgive you. They will turn the other cheek and forgive you.
Well,
as in the true spirit of Martin Luther the King.
But if it was the other way around, would you have a problem with that? If this was a white church and a black person killed 9 people and somebody white say they forgave, would you have a problem with that?
First of all, that ain't happening.
Well, that's not the question.
Forgive them. They ain't.
Well, you don't know that. I mean, that's part of
when's the last time anybody in Nicole Brown Simpson's family or Ryan Gomez's family said they forgave OJ?
I don't know their religion. I don't know how deeply religious they are. So I can't answer that question. I mean, that's a general broad question. I mean,
I think it comes from too my opinion. I'm not gonna say it's a fact, as I think it also comes from conditioning, and it comes from conditioning from slavery, and I think there is a part of it in the psyche where it's, if you go back and look, you know, oh, Master Brown used to whip us, but he's good white folks. They're cupcaking. And I think when you mix in religion with that, and you mix in, for some people, this may sound harsh, but some older black people who sort of see white people as superior to them subconsciously, I think it plays into that as well, where you see more black people doing this, apologizing and saying it's okay type of stuff, then you see other races doing it. I'm not saying other people don't do it, but I think that's the reason why you've seen that sort of traditionally, is because it comes from a long line of, you know, slave thing, and master, he's okay, he, you know, treated us well, even though he's free, we're still not going to break ranks from that. White folks do things better. And even though they're treating us bad, I'd rather be here than anything else. And even when somebody literally killing people, a certain percentage of them, it's particularly, and I say this as being somebody who studies Christianity and is a part of that to a degree, you will see older people come out and apologize and say, we still going to pray for them, even though you've just been, you know, a family member was gunned down. But I think it comes from that sort of long lineage of being taught to always, I don't say apologize, but well, I forgive you, even though you're getting slapped in the face. You know, I don't think younger people come from that. The younger people today, I don't think they don't come from that lineage as much. Like, they'd rather just tear the shit up. They're not going to, we ain't sorry. We're not going to apologize to you. But I think older black people, that's my opinion, particularly in being in a church their whole life, they've been conditioned to do that, whether it's good or bad.
Man, I don't know. What year is this? It's 2015. 13 years ago, my best friend was lost in a car accident behind the negligence, criminal negligence, of this one guy. I'm not forgiving shit. If I see that guy in the street, I will break his neck. I will kill this man. I swear to God, I will kill this man. When I went to court behind this to talk about my relationship with my friend, and as an attorney, keep in mind, I'm an attorney. I know rules of decorum in the courtroom, blah, 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 blah. After the fact, and I didn't see this until afterwards, before I went up and testified, I had to sit down. Now, we all know I'm a large man, so I'm not sitting down. I'm just standing there. Bailiff comes in, sees me, says, you know what, we're going to need some help up here. So the bailiff calls downstairs. They send another bailiff up. And he walks in like he's, you know, bad motherfucker. He looks up, sees me, he's all, oh, no, we need another guy here. So the third guy comes in. So I get up on the stand. And I said to the judge, I said, Your Honor, you know, I'm a member of the bar, and I'm well-versed in the laws of decorum of the courtroom, but I have to tell you without any hesitation, every fiber in my being wants to stand up, walk over to the defendant, grab him by his throat, flick my wrist, and end his life. But I can't do that. If I do that, I can't, you know, help with his wife and his children. Right. So I did not do so. And the judge thanked me for my, you know, control and restraint. But after I stepped down from the witness box, I walked back to where I was standing. All three bailiffs stood right in front of me, and they're like, Mr. Wiggins, you know, I said, there's not going to be any problem. And I looked at the defendant. I said, see what it's taken to keep me off of you? Keep that in mind, man. Three armed men. And so now I am not a theologian by any stretch of the imagination. I respect people's spirituality and beliefs. You know, one of my best friends is a theologian, and he and I have had a lot of good enlightening talks. But with something like this, no, I'm not forgiving a damn thing. Now, if that makes me a bad guy, so be it.
No.
It's, but I will never forgive this man.
And it's unique, because I think you're unique in the sense of, one, you coming from a position of power, and I'm physicality power. Like, you would intimidate them, right? Plus, yeah. You also have the power on the mental side of things. You've accomplished some things, and you're a man. And you, so it would be different where a lot of these times it's, and this is going to, this may sound bad, but I'm just saying, this is how I feel, this is what I think. You will see older women beyond TV, church folks, that are the ones apologizing. And again, what position of power are they coming from? One, the man is not in the church as much. And you're dealing with probably stereotypically broken family. So you got a person who's sort of being the head, not necessarily geared to be the head per se. You can send the hate mail to me. So when you have all these broken elements, and then when confronted with situations like this, you fall back on the church, which you should, and some of the beliefs. But again, it's different, because I think if it was you see white Christians strapped up, ready to go, and are not apologizing for anything. But again, they come from a position of power. So you're not going to see the white Christians. They don't, not going to, you know, and they, to me, they would be radicals. KKK considers themselves Christians, right?
Yep.
But again, they're not apologizing. And I'm not saying, it's a huge stretch to say KKK are the white Christians. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying in terms of, you will see other church-going people that don't display this as much a display of apologizing and saying, it's okay, I forgive you, as opposed to, you see a lot more black people who will do that on TV. And I just say, we should, I say we should stop doing that personally. We should stop going, I agree with Impa, we should stop going on TV talking about, I'm sorry for the, nah, you can be sorry, but we're not putting that out there like that, because again, we got to be in a position of power. If the men and the elders of the church decide they want to do that, then let them make that decision. But nah, man, I don't see how that helps nothing.
I think you're missing one aspect
ahead.
Here.
Go ahead.
People like to be on front, in front of the fucking camera.
That's true. That's true.
And that overrides any logic. Oh, the camera, I got to be on camera, girl. See, fuck that.
Even it's like my man, Sharpton, man.
Oh, God, somebody kicked
me. I'm not mad. First, listen. But he needs to just fall back.
Seriously needs to fall
back. Just fall back, dude. Don't. The people in Charleston, let them handle it. They got it. And I respect Sharpton for at least, like, he tries to get out there, but he need to fall back. Stop getting on camera. Stop talking.
Especially after he defended Rachel Dawes. Like,
yeah, stop talking. Stop talking.
I'm going to rip Alan another whole subject here, and this is, in the grand scheme, a lot less serious. But as we all know, Prince and Stevie Wonder did a little something at the White House a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
It was supposed to be on lock. No one who wasn't there was talking about it. Of course, Al Sharpton, motherfucker, gets on Twitter. Yeah, I just saw Prince and Stevie Wonder at the Floatus in the POTUS house. Really, Al? Everybody was supposed to keep his mouth shut, but not you. You fuck it up and make it about you. Al Sharpton, go fuck yourself.
Damn. All right. But let's go ahead and shift. We'll talk about our sister. Rachel Dolezal.
Soul sister number one.
We did a whole show about her. Now she's not in the news no more, thankfully, but
for now.
Definitely she was, I don't know if they reported this nationally, but she was a part of a police oversight board here in Spokane. They voted her out 6-0. She's out of there. I'm not sure if she's still doing her teaching thing, but I've seen that she has maybe gotten a publicist, and she's getting offers from some reality TV. There was, of course, the porn offer to do porn. You know, they do that to everybody. But any other thoughts on her whole thing? She's come out, and, you know, the transracial thing has really been thrown out there more. And
I saw her on something, and I don't remember what. It was the day she had the media tour, basically. And she said on one of the shows that she doesn't know that she's not black. Oh, in other words, she can't.
It's, you know.
Her parents may not be her parents. She doesn't know,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I saw that.
She's crazy.
I'm like, this woman is cray-cray. I mean, come on, girl. Really?
She does realize this is not endearing her to the black community. Like, well, there's no proof that I'm not black.
She need to go on a black show. She need to go on TV1 or, you know, Roland Martin, somebody, and get some real questions. Hell, come on. Hey, yeah, come on
Podcast Juice.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Come on, Podcast Juice. We got some questions.
Mike, she right down the street from you.
Yeah, she is. I know people who know her, but yeah, man.
But no, what got me worse was Melissa Harris Perry. She did an interview and she up there trying to sympathize with her. I'm like, look here, Melissa, I get it, your mix. I get it, your mama's white, and you know all the issues that could have been, and how you're empathetic to your mama's situation. But Rachel Dolezal ain't your mama. You know, this is not her. People be degrading or calling her out and saying she fake is not going to give you is not a trigger for your issues with your mama. Okay, she ain't one to be saved. She don't need to be saved, and she's doing the black community a disservice. So come on.
Okay, let me go ahead and steal something from Ant that he put online a few weeks ago, and this, I'm looking at you, Sean. Men, we don't say cray cray, and we don't say nom nom either. Okay,
nom-nom, what's that?
We don't say. I think this was you, and if it wasn't you, I apologize.
Yeah, it was probably me. I use hashtag nom nom nom. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, because fellas, we don't do that. You know, we don't, because, you know, I like to go out all the better restaurants because that's just how I roll. and you have never heard me once say, man, I was at Perry Gary's last night. Nom, nom, nom. No. No. Men don't do that.
My use of the word cray cray was just to illustrate just how insanely crazy this woman is. And, you know, trying to relate to our hipper audience. Yes.
Our hipper audience.
Hipper than me. I mean, hey, I had to be told who the guy was in Dope. Or what's his name? See, Michael, I don't even – what was his name? The rapper?
ASAP Rocky. He's not that big.
So. Okay.
But still, I didn't even know who he was and that he was a rapper. Someone had to tell me that. So I am not hip.
I ain't mad at that. Any other things on old Rachel? Oh, I know. I was going to ask. In funniness, so we can do it more lighthearted and male chauvinist.
Uh-oh.
Would you hit?
I would. About 10 years ago, you put up a picture of her in a bikini top.
Boom, 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 boom. I see the thing is,
I
don't know. Because
I'm going to take it back for the race.
If you think about it, you know, with her mindset, if you hit that and you're not actually just full on Mr. Marcus Shawn Michaels, she going to talk about you.
Yeah.
Because that's what she's looking for.
I'm gonna say
adult film fans will know who those guys are.
I'm gonna say this, and this has not been proven wrong. The crazier the woman is, the more fire, the more fire the punani.
Wow! And I
want anybody on the panel to dispute that, please.
Because you don't stick a dick in a crazy woman, man. No.
I'm gonna respectfully I can't even think of the word. Step just away.
Got him tongue tied.
Disassociate myself from both questions.
Oh boy.
Whatever. that's because Sean's always been square, so he ain't messing with them crazy.
Oh, you heard? Didn't you hear? Remember, Sean got into some of his early life. Sean's the Mac, man.
That was an offline discussion.
Oh, what? Oh, I see here. I'm playing Kobe. Damn, my bad.
I'm going to go ahead and put that. I would be in line. I would be in line for Rachel back in the day. Not now. Mm-hmm. My blackness will prevent me from trying to hit it now, but back in the day, I would have tried to, you know, claim that in for the black race.
Wow!
Plant that flag.
Did anybody see that or hear that? I think it's a video. It's one of her old boyfriends or something made some song about her. Did you see that?
Oh God, damn! The biracial girl thing.
Well, no, it wasn't that. That was terrible. No, there was a real, I think it's a video actually of the dude singing to her, or it's a poem or something. It's hysterical. He was talking about her vajay. He said vajayjay and all this kind of stuff. I was like, whoa. Ew. But yeah, that song, By Rushy Girl, is another, that's hilarious.
Oh, that guy. Oh.
I hope he was just joking.
He had to be.
No, maybe he was just trying to hit it. So maybe that's what it was.
He needs to try a little less hard. Come on, brother. No.
Biracial girl.
Well, I hate to get out on a tangent, but I was listening to The Read. And
what is that?
The Read is a podcast with Kid Fury and Crystal. And, you know, I find them very entertaining. But Crystal, she don't play when it comes to black folks. And she went all the way in on this chick. However, she did say something that I wanted to, you know, bring the discussion here as far as the black experience, the struggle. And she put into saying that Rachel couldn't be black because she has no concept of what the struggle is, what it is to be black. She doesn't have the history, the roots, the knowledge of all the struggles that has gone on from the civil rights era, Jim Crow, slavery. She doesn't know what it's like to deal with these certain type of situations. And my issue with that was I don't feel that that's fair, because she mentioned interracial and mixed, and I'm not trying to call anybody out of the panel whatsoever. So I don't know
who else could it be.
that is not why I'm bringing this up at all. No, but it struck a chord with me because I have mixed race cousins in my family, and it came to me because I'm just like, they have no concept of that, and that is no disparagement of my uncle. But isn't that what you want for them not to? Don't you want them to have a better life where they don't know about that struggle, that they have no concept about that? Does that invalidate their blackness, that they have no concept of that? He knows about this. He's a black man that was born in the 50s. So he saw Brown versus Board of Education. He saw the Civil Rights Movement. Malcolm X get assassinated. Martin Luther King get assassinated. The Civil Rights Bill getting passed. All of the 70s, 80s. And on top of that, he was in Arizona, which, you know, they wouldn't even, they took them to the 90s to recognize Martin Luther King Day as a holiday, as a federal holiday. But he had them in a predominantly white neighborhood, I would say middle class, maybe upper middle class, and they'd have no concept of what it is to struggle, to see my struggle growing up in South Central LA. And does that invalidate their blackness because they don't have that concept? And I just wanted to bring that topic up is the black experience isn't a homogenized experience in this country. And because you don't have that experience, does that invalidate your blackness, they were trying to say?
It's not homogenized, and it's also not quantifiable. It's not, you can't put a numerical value on this. You just can't. Everybody's experience is different.
Well, I can say for Palmer, Palmer has no idea as far as, you know, the quote-unquote struggles. You know, her biggest struggle is just, you know, what is she going to eat for dinner, you know?
as it should be.
Damn, is it rough over there, Sean?
No.
Hey, come on. That means he's doing his job. Shit.
Nah, I just had to do that.
You know, it's funny because this Thursday she's actually going to be flying out to Georgia to spend the entire summer. I say that with a big grin and a small tear with my parents. So, you know, she goes to my church where, you know, of course, black church. I mean, she's getting the black experience, quote unquote, out there. You know, most of the friends that she plays with when she's out there are black, and, you know, she could care less. You know, those are her friends. She, you know, doesn't see color. She doesn't care about color. And I'm hoping vice versa. You know, she identifies as white, although, you know, she's black. I've never heard her call herself black. I guess I've never asked does she think she is, because I don't want all that in her head. I just want her to try to grow up as quote unquote normal, you know, as possible, and you know, we'll deal with that other stuff as it comes along. But it's just funny to me, when I used to take her to Georgia, I would fly out there, drop her off, and fly back. I'm still amazed at just how accepted she is out there. Even when I go, the last time I went for my grandma's funeral, the question people ask me the most, "Where's Palmer? You didn't bring Palmer? Where's Palmer?" they love that girl. And there's no, you know, well, you know, she, but she's, you know, quote unquote white. You know, she looks white, as everyone's seen pictures of her. And I hope that continues. I know sometimes it's funny when I'll go like pick her up at school or something like that. I will sometimes see, "That's Palmer's dad," or they'll ask, "That's your dad?" And she proudly, "Yep, that's my daddy. That's daddy." You know, she just doesn't, I don't know if she doesn't understand or doesn't know, but she's got time to deal with all that. I just, you know, again, want her to be a kid, and Big Sexy's interacted with her, and, you know, she's as normal can be.
Yeah, she got me for what, 20 hours. She's the cutest little thing, man. She's an adorable little girl, and always smiling. You know, she's great, man. You and the missus did very well.
Yeah, yeah. Don't even know her name. I got you,
Deb.
See, you want me to look, man? I'm not trying to put Miss Deborah Palmer Hill on blast, man.
But that is an interesting question, Ant. You know, does that because she hasn't had that quote unquote experience, does that make her less black? I mean, you know, for all intents and purposes, she's black. She just doesn't look it.
Yeah, because my thing is like, black people should be aware of the quote unquote struggle. They shouldn't be like trying to forget it. I get that, but because your struggle is less than others, shouldn't invalidate your blackness. You know, and that's the problem that I have. You know, I had to get over that myself, where I'm like, oh, well, you don't know what it is. It's like, you really shouldn't. You really shouldn't, because I think my experience is far better than some of the people that grew up around me that had a far worse struggle. You know, that really knew what this county and the system was about.
All right. Well, speaking of struggles, I got a game for you guys. We're gonna play a little Guess the Race.
Here we go.
I'm gonna keep race baiting, as they say online.
All right, Al Sharpton.
So I'm gonna read this story. You guys can guess the race. All right. Do I even want to say where it's from? That might even give it away. I'm going to say a man assaulted a woman and then asked her to drop charges against him by dropping his pants in front of her. He is now facing an additional charge of indecent exposure. This guy, he's 32 years old. He was arrested last week for a May 10th incident in which he showed up at the door of his victim and asked her to drop assault charges against him. According to court documents, he offered to have sex with the victim, but left when she declined. She says he came back a few hours later. When the victim opened the door, this man dropped his pants and exposed his penis. He then offered to come inside, pause, or take her back to his apartment. The victim declined the offer and closed the door. She later reported the incident to police, who issued an arrest warrant. Now, guess the race. Sean Hill.
That's gotta be a white guy.
All right. And Poop.
I agree, it's a white guy.
All right, Big Sexy and Sack, what do you think?
Assuming the girlfriend and the boyfriend are the same race, this is a white guy.
This is a brother, Mr. Wiley Lee Sanders.
But what was the girl?
Doesn't show her picture.
I have a theory, but go ahead.
So he's at 32. This guy's in Alabama.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, it was a black.
It was a sister. So I didn't
want to say what. Yeah,
sister. Yeah, definitely your brother. He got his picture here.
She was like, I've seen that before. Like, man.
And that's all that?
I guess that's what we're doing now. Let me see if we got another one.
That ain't here. 2 feet long.
Well, this is so easy. Hold on. Here we go. This is, I'm getting all this from Huffington Post weird news. They have a lot of funny stories. The headline, Texas man breaks leg while trying to have sex with horse.
White guy.
white boy.
His name is Carrillo Castillo Jr. Oh. So he's kind of Hispanic, Mexican.
I'm leaving that alone.
So for those who care to know, he's 45 years old. He was arraigned last week after a February incident in which he allegedly broke his leg while trying to have sex with a horse. It was his third arrest related to sexual abuse of a horse since 2012. He was trying to get it in. He's into this.
Okay.
It says officers arrived. The woman identified the injured man as Castillo and said he had been previously arrested for having sex with her horses. In those cases, Castillo was ordered to stay away from her barn. The suspect told investigators that he had been struck by a car on a roadway and crawled all the way to the barn for shelter. Investigators believe he was trespassing in the barn in an attempt to have sex with the horse, but was injured when the horse kicked him. He said, "Get off me, nigga." The suspect was taken by ambulance to a local hospital and treated, according to sheriff's report. But it wasn't until June 2nd that investigators drafted a warrant and arrested Castillo on charges of criminal trespassing. If convicted, he could spend up to 180 days in jail. Wow.
Yeah. I guess somebody break a leg getting in his ass.
Damn.
That's sick, though, man. I don't understand that. The deviant.
That's just wow.
Remember that guy a few years ago who was killed? When having sex with the horse, I guess the horse was mounting him.
Oh!
Oh, I'm dead serious, though. It's disgusting.
Wow.
And they told him he had been caught with that before, and they said, stop doing these horses, man. Letting these horses do you. And I guess, that, you know how horses got that monster, boy. Blew his back out, literally killed him.
Actually, I don't know, Mike. Tell us.
Hey, I just did research. I only know from what I've seen old movies. But anyway. Enough of that. That was Guess the Race.
Alrighty.
You guys are wrong on both counts, which is I guess it shows the stereotypes don't always work, right? Brothers pulling the penises out. You guys could be called racist, actually.
Oh, bullshit.
You kept saying white dudes. That's a white boy. That's a white boy. One more.
Okay. Wait.
Oh,
wait.
Go ahead.
Hold on. If we came to you and said, Mike, you know, somebody was walking through the park with a... I'm not going to get hell for this.
Drinking
out of a paper bag wearing a shower cap on.
Well, a shower cap. Come on.
Okay.
I didn't see no white dude with a shower cap ever.
I'm just throwing it out there.
All right.
You at least say, okay then.
All right. Oh, did anybody hear the story about the guy who said he found a fried rat in his KFC?
Ew.
Yeah, I saw the headline, but didn't want to read it.
Yeah, there's a picture that goes with it. This brother, actually, a young black dude, said he bought some chicken. He bit into it, and it was a rat. He went on his local radio station in his area and told the whole thing. KFC, though, says they have reached out to this guy, and he's not responding. They are saying that, hey, you know, and the guy says he still has the rat, right? But they're saying, hey, we'll pay to have this thing tested to see what's going on, but he has never responded back to them. So they're kind of throwing out there maybe this could be a hoax, possibly. So who knows? I'm cool, though. Until I have confirmation, I'm cool. I'm not fucking with KFC. I'm sorry. They showed a picture in the news report that I never heard of this, but there's a guy who had he got when McDonald's was doing chicken wings a while ago. He had got a fried chicken head, and they actually have the pictures of that. That's
crazy. Oh yeah, I do remember seeing that.
That's crazy. They were like, throw it in the vat, cook it, fuck 'em, ship it. All right, any other things you guys want to get into before we get out of here? Nope.
No.
All right. Last call for alcohol. All
to right. The south.
No more shenanigans.
To the south.
To the south.
You know, y'all gonna get enough of that.
To the south. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to, I almost say Geeked Out. You've been listening to This Is What We Do. I want to give a shout out to Q Storm, couldn't be with us today. Also, be on the lookout. I will probably post this a day after I post this. But for all of my podcast juice all access guys, I got a new, what's the show called? High Heel Boots, excuse me. And it's a review of the recent concert in D.C. by our good friend Gina G. But this is an interesting story because she hit me up the next day and I had to have her on the show. I'll tell you this. So she's at the concert. You know, our Prince says, you know, sometimes he'll say, put your phones out. Bring your phones out, y'all. So she brings her phone out like everybody else in the stadium. And then a bodyguard dude walks up to her and says, you got to go. And yeah, all hell can break loose from a situation like that. So we want to talk about that. She's going to share that story. Cautionary tale of what you need to do at a Prince concert.
Yeah, I want to hear about that because, you know, when I saw him in 2013, they let us know in the line, do not pull them out. Do not pull them out. Right. And we get inside, don't pull them out. And we could see people's phones, you know, light up, and here they come. You got to go. Yeah. And that concert was $250 a pop. So if you want to run that risk, okay.
Well, this is what Prince told him to bring them out.
Doesn't matter. If they told you beforehand not to, you know, handle that, then you get what you get.
I remember when I went to the Live Out Loud tour in Anaheim, I got pulled off the floor because I kept texting the set list, you know, which songs were being played. And he was like, yo, you, come here. I'm like, what the fuck you want? I'm like, the hell? So he came out, he was like, let me see your phone. I was like, you can't see it. I'll show you. Is there anything particular you need to see? You know, you need to see pictures. So I started swiping through. And of course, there's this one picture of Prince from the form. I'm like, wait. That's 2 years old. Look at the hair. Look at the hair.
You know what you should have did? You said, oh, you want to see my phone? You should have known where you had a dick pic lined up. Here you go, nigga. Can you see it now? You want me to zoom in on it? You go, oh, no, mom. My bad play. Yeah.
You want to enlarge it for you?
Yeah. You want me to, can you see it now? You want me to show you in real life?
Okay, you went too far.
A little too far.
It's just jokes.
We do not co-sign.
I'm just joking. Y'all just know it's just jokes. No, but anyway, yeah, so definitely going to check that show out. Pretty interesting. Also, we talk about the ball and teacher. So there you go. Big Sexy and Sack. Where can they find you?
Facebook under Mark Wiggins. Twitter, Big Sexy and Sack.
All right. Aunt Pooh.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Aunt Pooh. And on July 11th, down in San Diego for our Comic-Con panel, We Are All Heroes. Get your tickets. Oh, wait. Sorry.
That's cold.
All right, Mr. Sean Hill.
All right, and maybe I'll see Aunt Pooh while he's down here. You can find me on Twitter at Hill Street Views, also Facebook, Sean Hill and Real Movie Talk, and the blog hillstreetviews.blogspot.com. Coming up next week will be my take on the best and worst films of 2015 thus far.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know what to do. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Just look up Podcast Juice. Hey, we're out of here. We'll see you next time. Work like a job. Peace. As soon as I make my place in this world, all the diamonds, cars, and pretty girls can never replace that love I make for you. And all the things that love can make for you. So, I'ma tell you a story about a little boy. Try to find yourself. Went to the streets, looking for glory. Couldn't get no help. He was trying to pave the way. Hustled every day. Either feeling like the pain, caught up in the game. It's hard to cope when that fast cash really don't last. Concrete jungle make you feel the wrath. Watch your steps, don't forget. Gorilla snap next, take a rep. Oh, he's still really blue. Hard in the street, don't know what to do. He fell to his knees, then he heard a voice come down and say, hey. Set yourself free, trust and L-U-V. Hey, hold your hand out, child. You need to be you, I gotta be me. So set yourself free, trust and L-U-V. Trust and L-U-V. I met a little girl. Lips so thin, lips so fine. Candy, sugar sweet of a man. Brown hips, so we get him in. 14, claim it 22. Think I'm out quick, I like a 22 dude. Hit the block real quick, get 20 out of you. Whoa, time went by, and she's damn near 25. Magic dust in the nose, now she's about to go far. Hold your hand out, child. You need to be you. I gotta be me. And set yourself free. Trust in L-U-V. Hey, hold your hand out, child. I gotta be me. You gotta be you. Yeah. Set yourself free. Trust in L-U-V. Trust in L-U-V. Hold up, check out.
I'm gonna show them the love. As soon as I make my place in this world, all the diamond cars and pretty girls, I never replace the love. It's all because of love. We're in a war against pain. I hope the troops can understand. I told you that they got the money and we got the phones. You better put yourself in there to get a home. Shooting up the bus. Now who in the hell can we trust? The old ones tell me to pray.